Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Don't raise trees just yet. Sit down and strap in for the Ultimate Super Coach Podcast. It's time to win your leagues and dominate your mates.
This is the Jewel Position Podcast, hosted by Whisperer and Adrianosaurus.
We are most certainly in the home stretch now. Center wing, fullback to go, and then a absolutely wonderful teamless Tuesday. I am the SC Whisperer, joined by SC Adrianosaurus. You're listening to the Dual Position Podcast, your one-stop shop for all things NRL Supercoach. This year, proudly sponsored by Bet with Joel, Australia's best and most trusted sports tipping agency. Some very, very good codes for you guys that are wanting to check that out. Packages starting from just $0. So no excuse not to go over there and check it out. Give a quick plug for the dual position group code 988813. Ado, center wings. It's different this year because, you know, from years gone by, I've always been the advocate of just go dirt cheap in the center wings. But with games becoming more and more high scoring, obviously the center wings last year had the most 100-point games out of any position. And we've got some really good value in other positions elsewhere. So we can probably look to go a little bit heavier on these center wings.
Yeah, I mean, but the other thing too is that we've got some decent middies and we've got even some bottom price cheapies as well. So there's a lot of different ways you can go about it this year. I agree with you. I think that sometimes when all the teams start to look similar, you can go and do a different, build on your team and go with a couple of heavies or one heavy, whatever sort of suits your thing. I think that in this area, there's a lot more playability this year. And some of the positions like hooker, if you're not going to Harry Grant or a Cook, it's a bit of a dead position. And we know that from front row now as well is a bit of a dead position. So, yeah, you chase this upside. And even in the past, centers weren't as much of a desired player in your team, but they're getting these catch and pass try assists. So the landscape in center wing is very different now. And I think that there's a plethora of ways you can go about it.
Looking into their coefficient variance ratings, a wonderful tool that the SC Stats guys on Google have, it shows that center wing is actually becoming more and more consistent as the years go by. In previous years, it's always been a rocks or diamonds, it's been 100 or a zero. But now the floors are becoming much better, and the ceilings are still very, very high. And that's due to a lot of wingers. Like, look at someone like Alex Johnston, who probably averages close to a try a game. There's, 30, 35 points just consistently week in, week out, and we know how big he can go. But there is a couple of big names, and it's handy when they have additional factors to them, and one of them being Joseph Manu, 801K, 7% ownership. Last year averaged 76.2. I've got him pegged at about a 65 this year, which is about a 10-point drop-off. I don't know if the games at fullback are going to happen as much as they did, and that was the benefit of Manu. Like, he absolutely excels at fullback in the minutes. He moves to another NRL club and gets fullback. Supercoach could slap a $1.5 million price tag on the bloke, and I'd still probably buy him at fullback. He's that good. But 7% seems pretty high considering the amount of Roosters that are sort of relevant this year.
Yeah, it does shock me. But I think that everyone's going, well, can I just find one absolute spunky move? I don't know if Manu's the guy I'd do it with. I mean, I'd even probably do it with an iPad or something before if I was going to spend that kind of money. But people are just going off what he did last year. He was absolutely exceptional. But you've made a good point. I don't know if he's going to go into 5'8 unless Keary knocks him. Once that happens, Keary misses any time, get him straight in. He's at price at an absolute maximum because he just did not skip a beat last year. And it's too much to fork out, in my opinion. We've had a change with Suoli'i over to the centres next to Tupu now as well, and that side looks absolutely amazing. So I'm sure Joey Manu will take his runs and he'll go and because he's a bit of a Sticky hands. You know, he loves a bit of a sticky hand. He does that wonderfully well as well because he's a tackle breaker. It's not for me this year because I think there's, I mean, Val looks like a great starting one for the year, and he's quite a bit cheaper. But, I mean, it's kind of like I feel stupid saying to people you shouldn't go that great player. But I agree with you that Manu probably does take a little bit of a backward step this year, and I wouldn't be doing it in my team.
Agreed. I just can't pay the money hoping that he gets something. It's probably the same with the next bloke we'll talk about as well. I mean, the next bloke we'll talk about has had proven track record on the wing, so we're not buying him specifically hoping that he gets fullback, you know, eventually during the year, because he does have a 200-point game. Just let me remind everyone, a 200-point game on the wing, and that is Reuben Garrick.
Yeah, I love Reuben Garrick, one of the good lookers in this comp as well. Oh, Joey Manu's not bad. We'll start with a couple of good looking roosters.
We are. There.
Well, one's not a rooster, but one, a bird anyway. Reuben Garrick, 742,600. When I did my podcast on talking about center wing, I was like, you know, talking, can you antipod someone like Val? And I was using Garrick as the comparison. In the trial recently, he got over for some tries. And if he gets some tries, he's 100 because he's a good goal kicker. He's not a lazy winger either, is
when
he's on the wing. I really love Garrick as a player. I always want him in my team. The same attitude I had last year is the attitude I have this year. Is if he loses 100K, I'm going to get him into my team because he's a really good point-scoring winger. Whether he's in fullback or he's on the wing, and with Tommy Turbo in the team, I think people are going to, 10.6, so that's not terribly low, is it? People are saying Tommy Turbo is going to be in the team. We're going to hope for a 200 for Garrick where he gets five tries or something and slots a bunch of goals. It's a pod move to go against a Val, I reckon, and do a Reuben Garrick. I haven't got the cobblers to do it, but I reckon that's what the 10% of people are doing.
The draw is kind of weird because there is some good games to target, but overall I don't think it's good enough. Bulldogs by Eels, Rabbitohs, sorry, and then they play the Knights. So there's obviously some good games to target there.
Yeah, well, actually, I didn't even say what I'm projecting him. Well, last year was 71, so it was a very good year for him. He's consistent.
I think that's probably a little. I think that's probably a little high, because that's a lot of the season at fullback.
Yeah,
I would be comfortable.
The thing is, we always thought that he scored more on the wing, getting fed by Tommy, than he would score at fullback. Last year, he sort of learned to play fullback and actually became quite a competent fullback. Yeah.
I think
the Knights in late 60s, you know, 68. So. What did you tip, Manu?
I think the Knights offered Garrick some pretty big money to be their fullback before they jumped in for Miller. So, yeah, definitely has some merit to it. I predicted Manu for a 65. I probably have Garrick maybe a point higher.
Yeah, I mean, in my thing I posted on the socials the other day, I picked my top averaging player in each position, and I picked Garrick in the centre wing, so I projected him a little bit higher than
If you Manu. Tell me Turbo plays every game this year, Garrick's the number one centre wing, and it's not close.
Yeah. Well, that's right. Okay, well, that's a good point because I'm doing this as this is the Garrick with the Turbo in the team. Surely Manly fans are hoping that Tommy plays a good portion, if not all of the season. Yeah. If he plays 20-plus games, Garrick's going to be the top-scoring centre winger this year.
By a country mile, I think. Look, 32% of people own Valentine Holmes. It's getting into antipod territory, but I just think with the draw, I think I've been brainwashed into this Val narrative that I've got to have him. And it's 724K. It's a pretty penny. And my big stance, I've said on this podcast many times, if you're picking non-keepers, you want to hope they make money. I think Val's the only exception here. I'm very happy if I break even with my investment on him over the first 6-7 weeks, just with how golden that draw is. As I said, 32% ownership. Last year, averaged 68.9. I've got him going down ever so slightly at 66, and I think that's just with the Cowboys coming back to reality a little bit. But I'm hoping that average for the first 8 weeks is up around the 75, 80 points. That'd be fantastic with Val. But, you know, we all know the story with the Cowboys' golden draw. He is a very, very sharp shooter as well. And if the Cowboys can put up some points, you know, Val's probably going to get 15, 20 points a game from goal kicking alone. Obviously a try threat. They've got him and Marit Talangi on the left-hand side. So, you know, all things point towards Val being a pick, but yeah, 32%, pretty high.
It's high, and it does. You and I are those kind of super coaches where when we start to see ownership getting up to a third of the game, I feel great urges to rebel against it. Mm-hmm. I really do. But when I just look at it, forgetting about who I'm going to have in my team, which center winger do I think after five, maybe seven rounds is going to be the top averaging one? Who probably has the potential to score more tons? It's definitely him.
Well, the way that I'm looking at it is I will probably never, ever captain Val Holmes in the first 8 weeks. I'm not that ballsy. Yeah. So then you look at it as like a Val plus a Chance or Val plus a Perham versus like a To'o and a Mazu or something like that. And where you're like, oh, maybe it is tempting to not go Val.
Yeah, I mean, if Val runs out, I mean, the Raiders after their trial form and they've got a game at home.
Could score 200.
Well, he could if he turns up in the first game and you've decided to go the Maju To'o way, you know, you're going to go, why did I do this one?
Oh,
why
yeah, and you're putting him? A lot of, and we'll touch on Maju shortly, but you're putting a lot of faith in the Knights just clicking from the get-go.
Yeah. There are, I mean, I like to get a nice balance of tackle break monsters like your To'os and your Majus, and I like some upside guys. That's why I think someone like Khan Pereira is a perfect cheapie. We'll get to him, obviously, but that's what Val is. He's slick. He's such a great mover across the turf, and he is a sharpshooter. He's got all the attributes to be great, and it was his first proper full season at centres. Remember, that was just a new thing for him last year.
Yeah,
he's taken to it so wonderfully.
He's also, I think he's the mix of the two. Like, obviously, 2021 To'o was fantastic because he had that monster upside, but he also had the 60 points a game in base. I don't think Val's 60 points level, but I think he's got a pretty decent base.
Definitely. So I think he's got all the attributes, Val, with that upside as well. And I'm just going to go with the crowd on that one. There's some other, I mean, it's hard to go against someone like Harry Grant this year, but I feel more confident to do that in that position. Down in there, in the center wing, I'm not going to go against Val, I don't think, to start. I'd rather go against a To'o, personally.
Well, you mentioned Harry Grant. We're going to touch on his teammate now and new fullback, and quite frankly, I could see this being the fullback for the entire season. I'm not high on Ryan Papenhuyzen, and that is Nick Meaney. 643K, 4.4% ownership. I know that on your socials, you were doing a bit of a, you know, throwing the line into the water and see who would nibble at Nick Meaney, and I think the response was pretty surprising because you're not as high on him as someone like myself.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I talked to the super coach Guns a lot as well, and he loves a bit of Meaney. I talked to you in the chat as well, and you like a Meaney. You're like, well, I'm going to antipod To'o, and maybe I'll take a stab at Meaney. I've always just thought Meaney looks like he's a bit of a no-frills type player. And, you know, I can't quite peg how Melbourne's going to go. But, I mean, it's kind of silly. We've always said that about Melbourne, haven't we? And they always produce. He's 643,000, so he is sort of, you know, him and To'o are the one.
Awkward price.
It's an awkward price. I mean, and when I'm naturally comparing, I'm comparing it to To'o because, like, if I got rid of To'o, I could afford Meaney. 4.4% ownership is pretty nice for a fullback. And his average was good in 2022, 61. I've given him a 63. So we're saying around Manu, and he's 2 points off what we projected Manu, and he's going to be, you know, 200K cheaper, isn't he? So I don't hate Meaney at all. And I also did the study on Brian To'o as well. So comparing the two of them, we'll get to Brian. I don't mind Meaney. I really don't.
Yeah, see, in my big balls calls, I had Meaney over Manu, and that could be considered controversial. But I think comparing him to To'o is great because you take the base of To'o and you can probably pair that up with the goal kicking of Meaney. They're probably very similar in terms of the points. And then you basically just look at a fullback versus the winger in terms of how much attacking output they get. So, yeah, definitely don't hate the Meaney shout. I'm actually a fan. I've had him in and out of my side. I've had a four premium center wing draft and Meaney's been in there. So,
yeah. If you're seeing a lot of your mates' teams and your team looks like almost identical to them, Meaney could be one of your guys that you go and antipod someone else with. I said that about Garrick to Holmes, which I don't know if I don't have the courage to do that. But, you know, I could have a world where I just go, well, I'm not going to go for Brian this year. I'm going to take a little punt on Meaney in that Melbourne team in fullback.
Now, based off my projections, we're about to talk about my number one centre wing for the season, and that is Ronaldo Mulitalo. Now, The reason why I'm so keen, Ada, we know how good he was without Wade Graham in the side. We know how poor he was with Wade Graham in the side. And that first,
I was an owner of him too when Wade wasn't in the side, and I loved owning Ronnie.
Well, that first 9 weeks, Ado, he averaged 81.2 points a game. That was without Wade Graham in the side. Wade Graham, I genuinely think, I'm seeing all this talk on social media, and this could backfire on me drastically, but people think Wilton's only going to play 45, 50 minutes. I think that's rubbish. I think Wilton's playing 70-plus, and I think Wade Graham rotates through the middle. Because
that's where he came on in their trial. And why would you not be using Wade Graham at lock when he can play 5-8? He's the perfect builder. He's old now. He's not Murray sort of young. But Wade Graham is the model that this new ball-playing lock is on. He could have played lock really well in his younger years, I think. So he's going to come on in the middle, I think, and play as that ball-playing lock. And if anything, I reckon 10 minutes.
10 minutes, maybe. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
I
kind of prefer Teague Wilton with 80 minutes, but you can plan for 70, guys, I reckon.
Yeah, even 70, I'm very happy to take. And that means, we're getting 70 minutes of no Wade Graham taking the ball from Sia Sifatalakai, who we'll touch on, and Ronaldo Mulitalo, who I am huge on. I've got him pegged at a 70 this year, and that's up from a 60.9. I think 70 could be conservative. As we saw, through a 9-week sample, it's not huge sample size, but over 2 months is good enough to see that, the bloke can score 80. And we touched on this at the start of the podcast about these high attacking teams averaging a try a game, and Talakai and Ronaldo could definitely be that. And I'm huge on Ronaldo. I'm absolutely huge on him. I think he could be the overall center wing one. That's probably
you've got him pegged at. He's 70 plus.
My big ball's call. Are you not as keen? I can see it in your eyes. You're not believing what I'm saying.
Well, when you talk to people about Ronnie and Mulitalo, I've owned him. I've chosen to take him because I just love the swag of the bloke. I love the way he gets under people's skin.
Should be a Queenslander.
He's a terrific finisher. Watching the Sharks, I was like, I think the Sharks could go back a little bit this year, and I think the Cowboys could. I'm going to change my mind.
Nah, watching that trial, man, they looked really potent, didn't they?
They looked sensational. So, look, I don't mind. We talked about Meany as a pod move to O'Brien, and I would put Mulitalo in there as well. We're throwing out some names that if you don't want to go the same as everyone else, I reckon these guys are strong, and they could do as well.
4%.
If not better than Toho. So
Ronaldo's only 4%, and if we're tipping him to be the centre wing one, Jesus Christ. I mean,
I'm tipping Garrick.
I'm splitting hairs. I mean, I just think Ronaldo, we're getting a big uptick on the 60.9.
Yeah, so you're definitely going to get Ronnie into your team.
I wouldn't say definitely. We'll try. We'll try our heart. If Nico Hines is not named, if Nico's not named round one, then we might have to reconsider. But look, I'm huge on Ronnie, and as it stands right now, yes, he's in my team.
Okay, I'll take it. See a Sifatella.
He's partner in crime.
Yeah, 635.
Still living off the hype of that Manly first half performance.
Yeah, probably. He had 5 good games last year and got 3 Origin games, didn't he? look, he's a talent, isn't he? I'm joking when I say stuff like that. He is a good player. We just got to this expectation because we saw those amazing games. We thought he was going to get a hunt. We thought he was going to be the new iPad. We could pick in center wing. It wasn't the case, but he still finished last year. Well, the average was 60. So
I mean, go and look at his stats. Like he and Mulitalo both drop off at a certain point, and then go have a look when Wade Graham starts in the back row again, because that's where the drop off happens. And I'm not trying to disrespect Wade Graham here at all, but it's pretty night and day the difference in scoring that both these two had.
Yeah, definitely. So I kind of feel like we look at that's probably why people are sleeping on these guys to start the year. Look, people were burnt by Talakai last year. That's why he's 1.7% owned. That is such a pod. $635 for him, $643 for Meany.
Under-owned? 1.7% under-owned, was safe to say?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were somebody who traded with Talakai last year, like you bought him cheap, you sold him at $900.
You're looking at one of those people.
Yeah, you have a good, so he didn't burn everyone.
No, I love him for that.
If you get burned by him, I think you probably could go into that well again this year. And think of Mulitalo and Talakai. Go and have a look. Find out when Wade Graham came back in and took that edge last year, and look at the scores for Talakai and Mulitalo, and look at what they were before that.
Exactly.
It is it is just one of those things. And like you said, it's not a knock on Wade Graham. He came off a short run up last year and he's been one of the great players in our game. But I think it was, he probably just went where he is this year in the team was probably where he should have been last year as well. So I don't mind Talakai. I bought him medium and then sold him at a top price. Maybe I had to hold him all the way to the... I think I held him all the way to the end of the year.
Oh, actually, gross. But, yeah, no, I was one of the very lucky few that bought him just before he went on that run and sold him maybe 1 or 2 weeks after his peak. So I'm very, very fortunate.
60 average last year. I think that that was affected, obviously, and you can see the decline in his score. So I've got him for a 63 this year. So I've got him the same as Meany, you know, and I'm saying Meany's a good option. So I'm not going to say that Talakai is not. And Talakai takes some grunt runs and stuff as well. So
probably has the highest ceiling too, to be honest.
That's right. Yeah. So, I mean, he's got a ceiling. He does do some grunt work. He's got a try assist in him too. He's got some very good hands for a big man. So, you know,
the only knock this year is that they did lose that 2RF duel, which was so crucial because it was nice to have a high upside CTW in 2RF. But I'm still keen on Talakai. Yeah. I don't really care that he's lost the duel. I'm still pretty keen.
Yep. I mean, stack him up against these other guys at that price point that you're going in that area. He's got to be in the conversation. I think we've come up with some really good ones to discuss today as pods or pods if you're looking for it.
Everyone's looking at Holmes and To'o, and for good reason. Like you and I, we both love them and we both have them in our teams. But if you're wanting to zig another zag, then I think, yeah, there's some really good options. I would like to say I've been a pretty good super coacher over the years, and I think one of the reasons for that is trying not to be biased. I don't know if I'm letting bias affect me here with my newfound love for Nofo. I've got nothing.
Yeah,
I've got
you are big on Nofo this year, but I mean the thing is how could you not?
I've got no stats to back this up, but I think it's just a vibes pick. I just think like Nofo with a prime Dewey. I know Dewey's a bit of a ball hog, but like, I just think on that edge with Bateman and Talau, like, there's some really good line runners there, and Nofo could get a few unmarked tries out the back. He's obviously not the same Nofo as old. We know that he was a premium. Nofo averaged, like, 72 points a game back in, like, 2019 or 2021 or something like that. And, yeah, really good. I mean, 633K, 2% ownership. So, you know, more owned than Talakai, which was surprising to me. Last year averaged 57.5. This year I've got him pegged. I've written here a 54, but I think that's meant to be 64. So, you know, a little bit of an uptick, and I think that's just coming down to a better Tigers team. I know his average is probably inflated a little bit from his time at Melbourne, but yeah, just all vibes. If you're picking a vibes team, then I reckon Nofo's got to be in there. I've got no stats to back that up, but just got that feeling in the gills.
Yeah, well, he's been good in the past. And like you said, he's not the Nofo of that, you know, famous 70s. But, I mean, some of the best moves I remember is people who, like Will saying, oh, I'm going to spend up and go Antipod, Val, and they go a Garrick. And it's just those people that go with a gut feel sometimes. And they go, I'm starting that guy in round one. And it comes off for them. And then they're away. They're in the top, you know, 1,000 after the first round. And they can really build on their season. We know that Nofo can go large and he can get multiple tries. He's very good out of his own area taking grunt runs. He looked good in the trial. So I'm not going to do it because he's one that I would like to get a look at first to see how the Tigers are going to all gel with Bateman in there and Brooks back in. I just want to get a look at him for a couple of weeks. But, you know, he could be a candidate for just to pad out your center wing for finish the year and stuff. You know,
live breaking news at time of recording: Tom Flegler has just signed with the Dolphins for next year.
Oh, Wayne's just getting them all over.
Wayne getting the band back together.
He's getting the Brisbane Dolphins. We'll call them.
Well, I mean, they fucking are. Hey, let's talk on Lachie Miller because I don't know where I stand because I called him the biggest trap of 2023, but then he looked okay in the trial. Does he present enough value compared to someone like a Mulitalo or a Talakai or a Meany? I know they're more expensive, but I don't know. Like, it's tough with Miller. It's hard to gauge when you got KP that's going to be probably so ball dominant.
That's the thing. People are going, they're believing a narrative. They're going with the gut feel, kind of like you with Nofo. I know that the Guns is big on Lachlan Miller, 593,390. I was just kind of like, well, he seems like a bit of a no frills kind of.
I think he's not going to hurt. If you pick him, Don't expect to lose money. I'm just not too sure how much you can make. But in saying that, like, it is always nice to have fullbacks in your center wings. And there's plenty of options there this year.
Yeah, well, all right. Well, you know, just stack him up again. If we're going out of 10, what do you think Meany is as a start in your center wing?
Oh, I would say a 7 or an 8, and I think Miller's more of a 6.
Yeah, well, and I would probably agree. I think Meany's probably a 7, and that's not going to be necessarily a slam dunk for you. I think it's a bit more of a punt if you're going to go this bloke. I did like what I saw from him in the trial. He looks like he's going to get involved, and he's busy. He looks like he sort of bumps off tackles a little bit. How they're going to gel, you know, who knows? And then also, we're getting a slice of the Cowboys draw. If you look at the Knights draw, it's a pretty good draw.
I did a post back in early January, and like I was analysing the draw for fullbacks, and this was before KP was moving to 6. But I had KP above Scott Drinkwater in terms of their draws. So you've got to have Miller above Drinkwater. So if you're considering Drinkwater, I would strongly consider having Miller as well if you're believing that draw narrative. But the issue is, it's the Knights, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the Knights, and we've got a real small sample size of what Miller can do. I can't remember, actually. I had a bit of a quiz at the Supercoach scores, and it wasn't anything to write home about. I watching him there, I was like, I don't see where or how he gets 100. You know,
yeah.
I just couldn't see that. But he is 7% owned. His average in 2022 was 63 from the games that he got to play, and I've tipped him for a 61. So, you know, we've got Talakai at a 63. We've got Meany at a 63. It's going to be within a point or two, probably. But these guys like Talakai, if he gets a big 160, that 63 starts to look like a 68 because he's got a huge ceiling in him. So if you're looking for a ceiling guy, or if you like a draw and a fullback in your center wings, you know, he's 7% owned. So people are actually taking the punt. And I am. I'm like you. I'm on the fence.
No. If you're looking for an upside center wing and you believe in the Knights, look no further than Greg Marzu. I am currently in the middle of editing a new video to put up, so that should be live when this podcast goes live. But I am fucking huge on Greg Marzu. I am so throbbing. 581K, 4% ownership. Last year, average 55.2. I've got him pegged at a 61 this year. And, you know, boy, that could go higher if the Knights click pretty early. Gun draw. If you believe in Ponga, if you believe in Miller, I mean, that's a pretty fucking handy left edge. You're going to have Bradman Best inside of him as well. So that's going to be one of the biggest. That could rival Talakai and Ronaldo Mulitalo as, like, the biggest center wing pairing. Like, they're just some absolute units. And, yeah, I'm huge on Marzu.
He's a unit. You sent me through a shirtless picture of him at the beach, and that sold me. No, I already had Marzu. As soon as I saw that trial, I was just like, mate, he can rack up Supercoach points. We saw that at the Titans. He bounces off tackles. He's a tackle breaker. He's like got a bit of he's a tackle break monster, isn't he? And he
can I just hate that he's been so like on the cusp for so many years. And then he finally gets his shot in the middle of the season when no one picks him up, and now he's starting at like a really shit price. But I'm huge on him. I'm really, really keen on Greg Marzu. And yeah, if I'm going for premium center wings, which I have flowed with the idea of it, Marzu was definitely in there for me. And yeah, big, big fan. I think if you're believing in Miller, then there's no reason not to believe in Marzu.
Yep, I agree. He'll do a run and it could rack up 30 points, you know, with no trial, line break or anything. Could just be bust 5, 6, 7 tackles and run 40 meters. You know, like that's just the kind of player he is.
Are you surprised at 19.2, close to 20% ownership of Brian Toto?
No.
Considering these other guys are like less than 5%.
Yeah, well, I mean, Brian's the name, isn't he? But, you know, I've done the study on him where we're getting our notes ready. And I think people were just mesmerized by Peter Vallandi's ball year. And it was an amazing year for Brian. If you look at him on the other years, it was under 60. It was around 60. He's one of those players that doesn't rely on tries, and he had such a good floor, doesn't he? And I think that's what people love about Toto. You're like, well, it may not be 150 like what Talakai got, but Brian just never gets a bad score. He'll get 50 points, 55. Because he's just he runs out of his own area. He makes those tackle breaks. So people just like the style of play, much like we like the style of, you're saying you friggin' love Marzu. Well, Brian has been famous for that. People are probably keen for him if he's going to go back on the left as well. I don't know if they're going to attack as much. I think actually I'd probably very confidently say they will attack less left this year with no kick out than they have done in recent years. I think they're going to go right more than they did last year.
I mean, Broncos in round one, who gave them a really, really red-hot go last year in the same game, and then Souths in round two, and then a bye in round three. It's not amazing. And then they come back to the Eels in round four, Raiders in round five. He could score 400. And then he's got the Seagulls in round six, and then we finish off with the Knights. So the draw definitely, you know, opens up after the bye. But those first two games, they're not easy, and I don't hate the idea of maybe not starting with him. You're talking me into maybe not going with
Toto.
That's
what I said. I'm not willing to do it with Val, but I am willing to do it with Brian, because even if Brian's back to the left, I mean, I've got him projected for a 62. The average last year was 59. He's not an antipod, 19.2, but he is out of all of those options that we've come in there that are 1-2%, and we're projecting them higher. Look, what I do like the sound of is May was great. They both made a good tag team of taking grunt runs out of their own territory.
This is what's tempting me, because they're losing a big ball runner in May.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, and I think Brian will pick up the slack. So, you know, I've gone conservatively to say that he's 62, but if he picks up some extra runs and he goes back to the left, I think we could probably even throw another 3 points on that average, and it could be a 65 average, you know, or more. Brian's consistent. He does have a very good floor for a bloke sitting out there on the wing. Is it the best? I mean, you know, he's right up there, isn't he? So people feel like he's more of a security blanket than a punt on one of these other ones. So it doesn't, you know, it doesn't completely surprise me. I've got him in my team currently, but I must admit, I'm like you. Now that I've done the study on him and I've done a bit of study on some of the others, I'm like, I could, if I have Val as my anchor, maybe I can find a pod who I think is going to score or better than Brian without the bye early, you know, and maybe with an easier draw to start. They might have a little bit more room to score more points.
That's the thing.
I like Brian.
In my team, I've got Val, I've got Ronaldo, I've got Brian. And if I had to move one of those on for funds, it's Brian that probably has to go.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm sort of feeling much more enthusiastic to start Marju like you after seeing that game with the Knights there, even though they got absolutely pumped.
You could tell that they were trying to feed him. They were trying to funnel him.
Yeah. So, I mean, that looked, all of that stuff ticked a lot of boxes for me to go with Marju, even at his high cost. And I was like, well, Brian's going to be a star this year. I think I'm probably end up staying on him just thinking of that he's going to pick up some extra runs, which is more opportunities for him to tackle break. And I don't think I can resist because I still think they'll attack the left more. Luai is the one that, you know, he's a bit more razzle-dazzle down that side. And look, I'm probably tipping actually as well. I think Hosking's going to be the one that probably ends up before too long. He's going to be the guy in that left second row spot ahead of Garner.
With the Panthers, it's weird because a lot of their line breaks on the left-hand side, like with Souths, a lot of their left-hand side line breaks come through block plays and Latrell at the back and getting AJ open. With the Panthers, it was a lot of kick out of the line, getting an offload to Tungo and they'd be away. I don't know if Garner's got that in him, and they're going to have to rely then more on some sort of block plays. And Dylan Edwards, just, he's not that kind of fullback. So, fuck, you're talking me out of Toto, and I'm going to have to sit.
Look, I'm telling you, I think Brian's going to average 62, and if we think one of these other ones is going to score 63, I don't think nobody's going to be disappointed this year owning Brian Toto. And there is, I think, some scope for him to pick up some points this year on the left, or if he's got extra runs. So I'm going to endorse him, but I am going to say he is somebody you can antipod if you like some of these other ones that we've mentioned.
Now, we found out that Katoni Staggs was playing basically with a dislocated shoulder all season. I don't know if that's a smokescreen for his shit season last year, but currently at 9% ownership. I remember this time last year, he was all the rave. Last year, he only averaged 48.6. I've got him tipped at a 54, you know, a little bit of an uptick, but you know, 9% of people owning him. Do you think people, like 9% of people, are believing in the bounce back or buying into the name?
I think it's the name. You know, even if you wanted to think that he is going to have a bounce back and it was all because of that injury, until I see Katoni looking like he's keen to go look for some ball, you know.
That's the issue, isn't it?
I mean, how can you go him? To me, he's just, it is such a risky play because in round one, when people go and grab a meanie, for instance, he's going to slot some goals. You know, Katoni could go and pull out a game that doesn't even match what the goal kicks are for meanie. He has that in him.
I'll tell you what, though, rounds 2 to 7, obviously they play the Panthers in round one, as we've said. But in round 2, plays the Cowboys. Round 3, plays the Dragons. Round 4, plays the Dolphins. Round 5, plays the Tigers. Round 6, plays the Raiders. And then round 7, we finish off with the Titans before it gets a little bit tricky. So, the draw's there. The draw's definitely tempting.
I mean, Kenny, I mean, he's obviously tempting people in to have a go. But the only thing that you're believing then is that because he's fit,
yeah, you're buying into a narrative.
He's going to automatically start looking for more ball now. He's going to be hungry and go do some work. I just reckon with players like Cobbo and Herbie Farnworth and stuff, you know, he's not a one man guy. Like, you know, they don't need him. He can go quiet in a game and just inject himself or go, you know, go for a run once in a while, take one of his attempts at a run and then palm someone off. But he doesn't do it enough. If he was just well, you know, the best stuff we see from Stags, even if he did 70% of that in every game, he'd be a must-have. But you just see it so infrequently from him. I'm not willing to take the risk. But 9%, that probably matches how many Broncos fans are out there. I'm sure Wilfred owns him, doesn't he?
Maybe. But now, you know, we go from Stags at 511K. There's... in the 400s, there's a lot of dead spots that I'm not really keen on. We're going to move into the cheapy contenders, and at 14.8% of ownership, Cameron Serraldo has given the seal of approval to Hayes Perham, but he didn't really look great in both trials.
No, he didn't. I had him in my team as well because I was like, oh, yeah, 370. He's been picked in fullback. You know, I'll put him in there with Chance when I was doing that sort of build. I just can't understand it. I'm not seeing anything that says to me that he's going to kick any huge goals this year, but people have taken him because the price is probably, it's always that narrative of fullback you can pick in your center wing, and people are doing it. His average was 39 last year, and I projected him for 50. So, you know, if you're going for Stags, you could go for Perham. Do you think he'll even make 50? A fullback who can't get to 50, it's a bit average, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm less keen on 50. Look, the talent's there. The talent's definitely there. I mean, like, you can see that from the trial. Like, he popped up. You know, he's very keen to get his hands on the ball. He's very jinky.
I think but did throw a try assist, I reckon, in a game. Maybe.
I'm worried that, like, you know, the Bulldogs don't click after a month, and then Serraldo's like, oh, Jake Avarillo, you want to play fullback for me?
Well, I mean, he's going to name Perham, I think, on Tuesday in the fullback position, and if people are hopeful that they're going to get the opposite of everything they've seen so far, give it a punt. But I could not press the button to bring him into my team right now.
No. The next guy, I've got pegged Ado, was a 21-point downgrade on last year. That screams don't buy. It screams a trap. But it's Isaac Thompson, who obviously averaged 64 last year. We're getting him priced at about a 33. So vastly, vastly different. I do have him pegged at a 45 this year. Now, as I said, 21 or 19 points less than what he scored last year, but it's one game sample. Isaac Thompson, 336K, 15% ownership. Now, this one's tough because, you know, Campbell Graham loves a run. Let's just leave it at that. And South attack all down their left-hand side. 336K, with the amount of cheapies that we have, you're sort of forced to play him. And I don't know if I want to leave 336K, you know, on the bench. I was keen, but I didn't see anything in the trials. I think he only played 25 minutes, so it's very hard to get an idea. I think I'm just probably going to give this one a miss.
Yeah, I think he falls into a big pile of people that you could think of. Chance, you know, you've got Thompson. We've got that little tiny risk of Milne. I don't think it's going to come to fruition, but it is the side... opposite side to where they do all their best work. We know that it's a hard draw to start. I prefer him to some of the ones in there. Maybe Remus Smith, I probably prefer him just because there's so much attack in the South Sydney lineup. You know, of course, Melbourne can do that as well, but I don't know if Remus is going to be the one getting it. But he's a safe pick for probably 40 points.
All right.
And I agree that I think Thompson's probably, you know, he's a good chance of 40.
Tommy Talau versus Isaac Thompson, who averages more?
Well, I like Tommy Talau. I think so I had him in my team before you did.
Okay, you can claim that one. But I probably prefer Tommy Talau, frankly.
Look, Tommy Talau looked good to me. What I saw from Tommy Talau in the second trial at 300K, which is a bit cheaper than Thompson, you can go whichever your persuasion is. I think Thompson has passed the eye test as far as I'm concerned as a footballer. He looks good.
Now, Hamisa Tabuai-Fido's ownership is plummeting. It's looking like an FTX stock graph for any of you guys out there in crypto, but I think he was at 43% of it at his max, and I think he was about 35% last week, and now he's down to 28%. Yep. Are people finally stop drinking the Hemisode Kool-Aid? I mean, I looked at the trial, and the Dolphins did not look good. Obviously, that's not a hot take. We all knew that, but
I've made a misprint here too, because I think I had him at 39, not 49.
I was going to say 49's fucking generous.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a 30. I've said he's going to improve on last year. Obviously, had time off the bench. I don't know if I love him at fullback. I know that he was probably lured there on that, and I know we were talking to Wilf last night on our draft. He doesn't really rate Tessie New in the fullback position. I just think that Hammer, with that speed, he could get, you know, I think he could probably get some more tries if he was out the back. He doesn't look like he's got too many great attributes in the fullback other than the speed.
No, I haven't seen anything from his hands. I haven't seen anything from his footwork. It's all been speed. And that's not me saying he doesn't have them. I haven't seen them.
Prefer Isaac Thompson or Hammer?
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Hammer? Maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, look, the Hammer, I think people are just like, man, that guy's fast. He could definitely do great things in Supercoach.
Yeah,
I don't know. Staines was fast as well, wasn't he?
28.5%, I'm very happy just to pat those guys on the shoulder and say good luck. Let that one through to the keeper.
Yeah, well, that's it. That's right. I'm projecting him for a 39. So he is highly owned in the game. But if someone plays Hammer in their lineup and he scores 100, you bloody well deserve
it. Good luck. Well done. Also, if he scores 13, don't DM me.
Yeah, don't send me abuse. I did warn you.
Okay. Charles Nicol-Klukstar at 327K. A lot of these guys in that blanket. 36% ownership. Last year, averaged 31.1. I've got him pegged at about a 44 this year, kind of in line with what he was doing at the Raiders at fullback, obviously in a better team back then. So 44 for Chance, you know, he's a worker. I don't know, like my very first, you and I need to go back and look at our very first team reveals because boy, they're different. I think I had Hammer, I had Chance, I think I had, you know, a couple of other cheapies, but now it's just, I'm like looking at them being like, fuck, I can just pay a little bit more and get, you know, Ronaldo or Meany or like, and just sacrificing the forwards. No, I'm just not keen.
Yeah, the treat we've got this year is that we had a swag of these bottom price 200ers come in. Now we were able to pad our bench spots and stuff with them. And as a result, we can do a bit more of the guns and cheapies in that area. So I think the shine has come off the Hammer. Chance will be safe, I think. And yeah, he'll probably get you 45 points. And I think that's why people like Remus as well. Over his career, he's just been a safe sort of 40, 45. If that's what you want, you want to save some money.
I don't know about you, but I would rather pay an extra 150K and get like an Egan Butcher or a Teague Wilton, for example, and get a safe 60.
Yeah. Well, that's right. Cause I'll get a 60 as well. That's right. So, I see people going all, you know, their most expensive player in that position is Isaac Thompson, and they've got a Remus and they've got a,
That's great because it allows you to have a Murray, a Fafita, a Carrigan, a Grant, a Cleary, Hines.
Yeah, so we're saying they're safe enough, aren't they? If you want to go one of these ones, I reckon I would prefer Chance to a Hayes Perham. I think he'll probably outscore him. I reckon I would prefer Chance to a Hammer personally as well because he's not going to break your heart with a 10, most likely. I didn't love what I saw from Chance in the trial. But let him get a few games under his belt. He's had a lot of time off and I'm a Raiders fan, so I'm not going to say any more nasty words about Chance. He's safe. And I think he's a decent enough one in the mid prices there for you to go.
We've got a couple of cheapies to run through. Paul Alamotti, Kyan Pierre, William Warbrick, and Sinera Taruva. Let's talk about Paul Alamotti, 200,800, 49% ownership. Last year averaged zilch. I've got him pegged at a 40, 41 this year. You know, that's perfectly fine, perfectly seasonable. I'm not too sure what more we can say on bottom dollar cheapies that are going to be starting. It's very hard to really...
what they're going to do, but yeah. It looks like a good edge, doesn't it, out that way on the Dogs? We think, you and I are both saying, temper your expectations about how hot they're going to be to start the year. But once they get up and humming, however quickly they do that, that edge looks like a pretty good edge, and I think Alamotti could be on for a try or two. He's a big, likely-looking thing, isn't he? So I like him, and I think he's one of the stronger ones in the bottom price that you can go.
Yes.
You could be in worse places.
Oh, yeah, 100%. We saw Isaac Tango, kill it outside of kick out. So, yeah, we've got Campiera, 200,800 as well, 46% ownership. Last year averaged zilch. I've got him pegged to 37 this year. I don't know really how to project these guys. If he gets, because he's not a big base guy. I went and looked through his reserve grade stuff. So that 37 is kind of me projecting a try every second game, which I don't think is out of the question with the Titans. He's a guy that I'd probably play on matchups, but I wouldn't be looking to make him my fourth centre wing. That's probably someone reserved for Alamotti. But yeah, I mean, leading try scorer in the trials, I'm pretty sure. I think he had back-to-back hat tricks. So yeah, really nice. Yeah,
you need a hat trick, don't you? And I reckon if he was playing the Dolphins or he was playing the Dragons, you could wheel him out if you like. If it's because those Titans can attack, but otherwise I wouldn't be picking him up in your starting team. But hopefully he can get some price rises and you can move him as early as you can. I got him last pick in my center wing when we had dregs on the board just because of that upside. And I could wheel him out if I need to in one of those soft matchups and hope he gets multiples. We do that with AJ, but they're an expert at it. They've been doing it for years and years and years, the Rabbitohs. So, I think Campiera has got that about him. You know, he needs some multiple tries, but he looks like a pretty good cheapie with some upside.
Now, with Justin Olam out for 6 to 8 weeks, unfortunately, Dean Eremia has been ruled out for the season. Now, a spot's going to be open, and William Warbrick looks like he has taken that one with two hands. It's a big, rangy winger, just a big, absolute unit. 24% ownership. I expect this to nearly double after Tuesday. Last year, average none. I've got him pegged at 47 average this year. The best of the cheapy bunch, and maybe that's just me buying into the storm, but I really, really, really like the look of him, and, really rangy, really big. Looks like he can create a bit for himself as well.
Yeah, I mean, he looks like that's why, because a big, rangy, big thing on the wing like that suits Melbourne and the way they play. I think that they'll get him the ball. They're such a great, they've got the best spine in the comp, pretty much, if Pappenhausen's fit. And he's going to get some ball. He's looked terrific. And it's not easy to just walk up into that Melbourne team side, just on trial form. And I guess obviously they've done preseason as well. But I have every confidence that he's going to get named in TLT. And I'm going to have him because I watching the trials, I was like, whoa, where's this bloke from? I don't even know who he was.
I think he's a rugby boy. I think he's a New Zealand rugby boy.
He's a silver medalist. Yeah. I've done a bit of research on him since then. So he's got some pedigree as a footballer, and he does. He runs strong. I think he's going to – of all the cheapies, I agree. I think he could have a breakout year. I could see this bloke being someone who gets to 500,000.
Yeah, I'm keen on William Warbrick as well. Sinera – or Sinaya? Saniva? Taruva. 270K, 23% ownership. Last year, average zero. This year, I've got him averaging zero. I don't know if he starts, but I don't know. Like, if he plays, maybe like a 43, 44. I don't know. Like, there's some talk that McLean gets the wing spot. I think there's a kid called O'Sullivan who might jag a center spot and shift Crichton to the wing, I've heard. So, there's some talk, and we'll definitely get some news Monday or Tuesday about what's happening with Teamless Tuesday. But, it's going to be interesting. I mean, obviously, if he's named, I'll find the cash and buy him. But for Supercoach hopefuls, I really hope it's McLean or Sullivan who are, bottom dollar.
Yeah, well, that's it. It's such an easy thing. It's going to be one of them, isn't it? They're going to have to pick someone in there. So a lot of people's their logic is like, well, we think he was going to – he played last year filling in and he was going to be there to start the year to cover May. So why wouldn't it just be him? I think that, you know, we'll have to see if they want to get Brian back to the left. If Brian wants to go back to the left, can Sonny Drew play on the right? I don't know. It'll just be interesting. It'll all be teamless Tuesday dependent. You know, if it is him, I'll be having him.
Yeah, obviously I'll be having him as well. But fingers crossed it's one of the cheaper guys. I'm very surprised that this podcast is going to be one of our shorter ones because to our center wing is going to be huge. But we've missed plenty of people. There are some great pods out there that we haven't mentioned. Bradman Best is one that comes to mind. I think he's 1% ownership as well. So we've missed a few. We haven't spoken about Alex Johnston. We haven't spoken about Campbell Graham. We haven't spoken about Zach Lomax. All these guys, you know, very, very viable options. We needed to keep it condensed. Mate, we'll probably rattle off fullbacks very, very shortly. We'll get that done, and we'll be back on Tuesday for our very first live show of the season. Very, very excited for that. And fuck, I just wish some teams were announced so I can stop touching my team.
Well, you and I are going to get off this bloody thing and go and get Ronaldo in our teams, aren't we? Going to fuck off,
hey,
Brian.
He's my round one captain.
I'm staying strong on Brian.
No, okay, sweet. At least we have a couple of differences. I mean, our teams have been looking awfully similar, so it's good we have a couple of differences.
Well, I've noticed that you and I, we both, we get kooky in this little week up leading up to
this
CLT.
Is the worst time.
We're going into some wild theories about our team and, you know, stacking it with. I mean, I was looking at a team where they've just gone four absolute gun halves, two gun hookers and two gun fullbacks and dog shit in the rest of their team. It's so funny what with the places people go to. But and then there's these other people that are like, nah, I haven't even made one team when the team picker came and I'm waiting for TLT. They've still got old mate Corey. What's his name that went to the Roosters?
Corey Allen.
Corey Allen in their teams, you know. So there's lots of different ways people are going in this last week before TLT. But you know, it's all going to change. We'll hear Teamless Tuesday, and then it'll be some sort of shock. And you know what the biggest thing I'm worried about is that it's all smoke and mirrors from Wayne Bennett, and it's going to be Milford named.
Fuck, I'll just...
Then we're going to have to find hundreds of K in that spot because we don't have – or you just go back to the whole Schuster theory. But that's my biggest fear for TLT.
Yeah, at least we have the whole Schuster backup plan. But, yeah, like full-time from Sunday trial week two to Teamless Tuesday, that week and a half – it's the fucking worst time because you just sit there overthinking dramatically.
Oh, you do. I've looked at mine sometimes and I'm just like, that's fucking shit. I looked better before. What did I do? How did I do it? I mean, one point I tried to revert back to what I had previously and I didn't have enough money. I was like, where's the money gone? Yeah, mate, it's all the fun of Supercoach, isn't it?
Definitely, definitely. All right, guys, that's going to wrap it up for today's episode. Tomorrow we'll be back with fullbacks. Tuesday we'll be back with our official season launch. Wednesday we might do a team reveal, but yeah, mate, I'm very, very keen. The season is vastly, vastly approaching, but yeah, you've been listening to the Dual Position Podcast. I've been your host, the SC Whisperer, coach of the Ramsey Rehabilitations, joined by Adrianosaurus, coach of the
Rapanarama.
You keeping it the same thing? Fair enough.
Yeah, keeping the same thing. I love the swag of he's becoming a bit of a liability actually, Rapana, isn't he?
Very much so. Mate, yeah. I will we'll see you tomorrow. We'll talk fullbacks, we'll talk why Tom Trbojevic should be the first overall pick in your drafts.
Yeah, I took Cleary first last night and I'm not gonna regret
panic
it.
Panic stations there. I wish we should release that video of you panicking. But yeah, guys, we'll be back tomorrow talking fullbacks. I don't think tomorrow's gonna be an overly long episode. I'd be very surprised if it's more than 20 minutes.
20 minutes on fullback.
Yeah, it's not something that you want to really be fucking around with. There's probably five or six names that are viable. We'll talk on them, and then we'll see you Tuesday for the official season launch. But as always, Dual Position Podcast, links for everything in the socials. Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.